5:04 on a Thursday afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across ESPN Radio in Virginia. 1240 in Roanoke, 93.3 in 1320 in Lynchburg, 730 Southside, and 1350 in beautiful Bedford, Virginia, although it's a cold, wet, nasty, rainy mess out there. But good for the kids is, you know, a little cold rain means no school for the children. Good thing there were no football games scheduled for today, Ed. Those would have all been canceled long ago.
Oh, yes, they would. It would have been unfortunate, Rich.
Real quick, thank you to our sponsors, Gano Sausage, Arthur's Jewelry, Indigo Air Spa and Wellness Center, and Lynchburg Power Sports. More on those a little bit later on. We've got a good show coming your way here today. Dennis Bickmeyer, Rubbins Racing, as we are down to the final race, the final four. And it's all very exciting, all happening at Homestead, where more often than not, the winner of the race is the guy who winds up winning the championship.
That's been a general trend for this race, is that in years past, when they had the old point system and it was just over the course of an entire season, this was just basically a celebratory run. Somebody started their car, tried not to screw up, and they were fine. Now it's become a winner-take-all. The winner-take-all approach to this race has really vaulted the top teams, and oftentimes you've had one and two being both guys competing for a championship, and it's been a race that's been decided in the final handful of laps.
And we'll see what Dennis Bickmeyer thinks a little bit later on, if that'll be the case again this weekend down at Homestead. Also, we'll talk a little football with the guys from freewinners.net. Big Thursday night game coming up tonight, Seattle and Green Bay. Two pretenders. What do you think?
I'm not overly buying either of these teams. Green Bay, maybe a little more with Aaron Rodgers, but that's, you know, the Aaron Rodgers factor if he gets hot and just elevates them over the course of the year.
That's all it is with them, though.
I think they've done a very poor job of roster construction around him over the last handful of years. Don't say that to Packers fans or, you know, Wisconsinites, because how dare you ever say something negative about their team. But let's be honest, this guy should have been given more resources and opportunities to make a deep run than he has.
Well, and it always boils down to people believe in Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I even remember a playoff game just a couple of years ago where, you know, that was all the talk. It's Rodgers can do it. Rodgers can do it. We're just going to ride Rodgers. And, you know, Rodgers didn't do it. And I don't know. I don't buy them. Things can change. Having a great quarterback is certainly part of it. But there don't seem to be a whole lot of other pieces in place with the Green Bay Packers. And when you look around, not only the NFL, but specifically the NFC, you just see many more teams that have much more going for them than the Green Bay Packers do, in my opinion.
I just don't see enough that's elsewhere to compete. Say if they have to go up against New Orleans, who can also put up points with a great quarterback and has a lot of other parts. Or the Rams, even. We saw that earlier. The Rams did not play their best game, and they still managed to beat the Packers in L.A. And yes, there was probably 70% Packer fans there because, well, anybody travels to L.A. to face the Rams because it's not like they have a huge following out there. But I look at this team as one that they might get into the playoffs as a wild card. Those things can be a little bit funky sometimes. Seattle might as well. But neither of them, I believe, to be credible threats to vault farther up the food chain than maybe a playoff win at the most.
Well, maybe a little bit more on that that game later on tonight. But right now, we're joined by Mike Burnup of the Virginia Tech Radio Network. Lots going on with the Hokies. I know, Mike, this is one of your favorite times of year. It's crossover season. Little hoops, little football, little bit of everything for you. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, that's why I'm amphibious, my man.
Yes, sir. I heard that about you.
And right now, I'm swimming uphill.
Everything going well? I know a big game tournament down in Charleston for the basketball team. They got a win over Ball State earlier today. And like I said, crossover season. So you're a busy guy.
Yeah, it is, but it's fun. I mean, it all started last week when we had the home opener in basketball against Gardner-Webb. So we literally did that game, got in the car and drove to Pittsburgh, got in about 3:30 in the morning, and then had the privilege and fun to call that game, which wasn't a lot of fun, I'm telling you. That was an ugly showing, and now we're back and forth to Charleston. We'll do the game tomorrow, drive back to Blacksburg, do the Miami football game, and then drive back Sunday for the last basketball game. So, yeah, it is that time, but, you know, it goes over pretty fast because, you know, the football season is getting close to being over.
Have you ever recalled a time in Blacksburg where fans are excited that basketball season is here and football is almost over?
Well, yeah, I've seen that before, but not so much that football is just doing so poorly that it makes them more excited about basketball. I think there's a lot of concern about what's going on in football, but I think expectations have been high for basketball before, and I think they were last year. So, yeah, I mean, that's understandable the way football has struggled.
You know, you mentioned it a second ago. You said football season's almost over, and, you know, unless things really shape up quickly for the Hokies, it's going to be a really early end of the season with the potential for no bowl game, which is staggering, Mike. I mean, as far as what the expectations were for this team heading into the season.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing when you think about it, because in this day and time, it's not that hard to get to a bowl game, right? Because 6 wins is all you need. And generally, you know, you're only playing, obviously, 4 conference games on the road. So, you know, you should take care of your home business, and you schedule non-conference games that generally you feel pretty good about or confident about. So it's been a weird season when you think about the Hokies were 3-0 in the league sitting there, and all 3 of those wins were on the road, and you cannot win a home game for the life of you. And now you've lost 3 home games for the first time since like 1992, and they're giving up just a ton of yards, a ton of points. And, yeah, the bowl streak could be over. I mean, you think about the 2 games that you kind of had penciled in before the season that you thought would have been pretty confident that you'd win. One was Old Dominion, you lose. And then the other is East Carolina, gets canceled. So there's 2 games that, you know, go down the drain, so to speak. And now the Hokies are struggling to get to 6. And we'll see what happens. I mean, if they got to win one of the next 2, obviously, for them to even think about scheduling the 12th game. And they won't do that unless they win the 5th game, because why would you want to play a 12th game that meant nothing? So I think that's what's probably in the works, if possible, if you can find a team that will play you at this late of a notice. Maybe they have one in their back pocket. I don't know. But, yeah, you hate to see that bowl streak come to an end, if, in fact, it does, because it's just been a tough year, especially with the youth and inexperience and then the injuries on defense. And then, of course, the offense as well, the inability to score a lot of points.
Mike Burnup with us here, Virginia Tech Radio Network analyst, discussing the challenging football season for the Virginia Tech Hokies. How surprised are you that this has been the year where it seems like they have not had the answers on defense, given that normally Bud Foster's unit has been able to adjust as seasons have worn on?
Mike, you there? I think we lost Mike Burnup. How about that? Give him a call back, if you don't mind, Matt. Yeah, it's wild what's going on at Tech.
And they get a team that looks to be in even more disarray coming to them, Miami. Not only are they struggling, but there's an uproar among the fan base. Archaic offense, as it's being termed, about Mark Richt.
Yeah, that Miami deal is a different deal, though.
It is, you know, when it's, it is the ultimate hot cold situation. When things are going well, it, and you probably say that about all the Florida schools, really. I mean, Florida State's kind of in the same boat. When it's going well, there's this wave of momentum around the Florida schools when they start doing well. Florida with Urban Meyer, Florida State with Jimbo, Miami with Butch Davis, back in his tenure. But once you lose that momentum or once things start to head south, it goes south in a hurry.
Yeah, Miami, although very different, I think, than the other two Florida schools, just in the sense that it's more of a commuter school and there's much more going on there, whereas Florida State and Florida are obviously the hub of everything that's going on down there in Miami. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like they're so super quick to criticize the second things go wrong. And that makes this, I don't know, that just seems to be very different. And, you know, obviously talking with Uncle Luke the other day, always an interesting conversation. I think we got Mike Burnett back. Hi, Mike.
Hey there. I don't know what happened. I was just sitting here yakking, you guys.
Well, we had asked a question and you didn't answer, and we figured there might be a problem.
Oh, no. I was talking away, and then I heard a click.
All right. Well, so, Ed, fire it up.
What was the question?
Oh, absolutely. Well, how surprised are you that this is the year where Bud Foster's defensive unit doesn't seem to have had the answers, whereas in other years, even when there have been young pieces and they've struggled early in the season, they found a way to get it together by the midpoint and certainly the end?
Well, I think going in, we knew, talking to you guys, it was going to be young and inexperienced, because you think about it, you lost three guys to the NFL. Okay, and then you graduated all the other guys. Think about Matua Puaka, graduates. You think about Reggie Floyd, there's only one back in the secondary, okay, because you lose Faison, and you lose Stroman, and you lose Anthony Chigog, and Vinny Mahota's coming off a knee injury. So there's two guys on defense that had any experience, and that was obviously Ricky Walker and Reggie Floyd. And so then the guys start getting banged up. You got two linebackers that have never played the down before, and you got inexperienced cornerbacks, and you know, yeah, they got off to a good start down at Florida State, but how good was Florida State looking back on it now? And so, yeah, it's probably a little bit of a surprise that some of these younger guys haven't been able to come up and make better plays, but they're so young and inexperienced and banged up now. I'm just not sure what's going to happen here moving forward these last couple of games.
Mike, when we lost you, we started talking a little bit more about Miami as well, because obviously things aren't going as they had expected this year earlier. And, you know, I mean, you're sitting there at the beginning of the year thinking that this could be a game that determines who's going to win the Coastal, and it turns out it could determine who gets to go to a bowl game. And, you know, for both of these teams, this is a very uncommon situation. How do you see this game going? And you talked about Tech maybe scheduling a 12th game if need be, and that could make them bowl eligible. Ultimately, do you think that'll wind up happening, that they'll need that game to be bowl eligible and they'll wind up playing a 12th?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get when Miami comes to town. I mean, they've lost four games in a row, so they've got quarterback issues. You know, has Mark Richt lost that team? I just don't know how motivated they are to go forward. I mean, they were sitting there at 5-1, highly ranked and playing well, although they did not look good in their game against LSU. So that team's trending in the wrong direction, a lot like the Hokies are. And so you don't know. I mean, playing up here in a little bit of chilly weather might not be good for them. So, I mean, for whatever reason, I feel like the Hokies have got a good shot to win this game this weekend. And if they win that game, you know, who knows about UVA, what's going to happen. I know Virginia's pretty good, and I'll see what happens with them against Georgia Tech on the road this week. But they've been talking all along about how they need to beat Tech to take the next step. Well, that could happen. I mean, sooner or later they're going to get you, right? So we'll have to wait and see.
Law of averages, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it took so long to build that bowl streak that, you know, you ask the fans, and a lot of them seem to think, well, we'd rather have the bowl streak because, you know, sooner or later, again, UVA's going to beat us just from the law of averages. But it took so long to build that bowl streak, you'd hate to lose it. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I just don't know what you're going to get from Miami. I mean, they got great players in a lot of positions, but when they got quarterback issues and their motivation level, who knows?
sounds like a real sales job, especially when Miami's offense is on the field against the Virginia Tech defense. Are you going to have to avert your eyes when that matchup unfolds?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, maybe some of those players, you know, we've been out of town, obviously, but some of those guys were banged up on defense. They had hoped to be back this week, like Hewitt on the defensive line. You know, maybe Rivers was going to come back at linebacker, although Rico Kearney and Dax Holyfield have been playing pretty well. You know, Ashby didn't play but one series last week. So you just don't know what you're going to get. But they have clearly lost the mojo at home at Lane Stadium. And now this week, when you look at it, the students, you know, they go on break Friday. So how many students are going to hang around Saturday for that game? And then fast forward, how many are going to be here for the Virginia game at 3:30 on a Black Friday? You know, I think the crowds are going to be down for these next two games.
Mike, what did you see in the Pitt game last weekend?
I saw a defense that just got absolutely pummeled in the second half. They couldn't stop them, couldn't tackle. They were in wrong positions. They had no gap integrity. It was just amazing to me in the second half when you thought that, okay, it's bad enough in the first half, right? It's 31-7. But you thought, okay, maybe they got a glimmer of hope. So the defense comes out. They did exactly what you wanted. They got the three and out. And then the offense goes right down the field and scores. Long drive, 17 plays, I think, something like that. Took a lot of time. Coach Flew didn't hesitate. He went for two, right, to get the thing to a two-score game, 31-15. And then you go back the other way, and it's like two plays later, bam, 73-yard run or something. I mean, they just couldn't stop them. I mean, those three series in the second half, I mean, they had a two-play drive, I think, with a huge play, 73-yard run. The next one's a 31-yard run for touchdown. The next one's 97 yards. I mean, those three plays were 201 yards, and they just had no answer for them. And then offensively, you got to score more points. And the Hokies scored, you know, the first two possessions of the second half and then had nice 10-play drives on the next two, but gave it up on downs. So offensively, you got to score more points, and defensively, you know, you just can't give up that many points, that many yards. I mean, it was ridiculous how bad it was.
Mike Burnham, Virginia Tech Radio Network analyst with us here on the Sports Line. What effect is there when a defense struggles that mightily on an offense? Does the pressure get to that unit at some point that, oh my goodness, every time we're out here, we have to score or else the team isn't going to keep up?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there is some sort of pressure on them, yes. And it got out, you know, got out of hand fast in the first half when you think about, you know, the Hokies, their first three possessions punted, and then they missed another field goal. Well, that's four straight field goals that they've missed. And, you know, if you can't keep up with pace on it, it's going to just come back and bite you in the butt. And that's kind of what happened. So the Hokies did score, I think, the next possession. But, you know, again, it's 31-7. The defense didn't have an answer. They did not force a punt in the first half, did the defense. And you think about the one drive that they got stopped on that fumble, they were getting ready to score then. And the ball pops out and Rico Kearney's, you know, bounces on it on the end zone. That would have been more points out of that drive. So, I mean, it almost could have been worse when you look at it.
Mike Burnup joining us here on the Sports Line. Mike, any reason that Hokie fans should be concerned that this is something that might be more long-lasting than just a down season?
I don't know. I mean, I think all these guys will clearly get bigger and faster and stronger and be better next year on defense. But I know they're concerned now about all the streaks, both streaks that are going on. And I think they're concerned about our lack of depth at the line, defensive line, and you think about next year, you're losing three starters on the offensive line that are seniors. So it all starts up front, and they need to get some better linemen in here and develop them, and then you got to get better players on defense. You know, it's kind of funny when you think about Coach Beamer, you know, when the recruits came in, if they could play defense and were pretty good, you know, most of them went to defense, right? And the offense didn't have many skilled people. Well, now, you know, it seems like a lot of them, more of them are just staying on offense or whatever, and who knows what might happen to Caleb Farley. If they had enough defensive backs, you know, he may go back to receiver. Who knows? But that's something that they got to get, obviously, better players and develop them pretty fast because it's you don't want to put together back-to-back tough years, that's for sure.
Mike Burnup joining us here on the Sports Line as we look ahead to their matchup against Miami and beyond for Virginia Tech football. Mike, you know, is there any truth to the idea as well that part of the struggles this season compared to others have been just the over-reliance on younger players? And I understand there's a desire, younger players now more than ever get playing time, and you know, there's the fear that if they don't, they might transfer. But you know, is that something that Virginia Tech and other teams that you've seen this year have been battling in terms of maybe they're athletically gifted, but they don't have that same experience and ability to adjust or just follow the complex assignments?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, again, on defense especially, because, you know, Bud Foster plays a little bit of a complicated defense, and he likes to take some chances, and he puts guys on islands and whatnot, and you just don't have a lot of depth on defense, especially now at cornerback, and it's difficult. I mean, you lose Webb right before the season starts. I mean, he's a kid that many projected was going to be one of the starters. And then, again, there's so much youth on defense. And we talked about the linebackers are supposed to be your leading tacklers, and those guys had no experience at all. So it has been difficult and unusually. I know things go in cycles, but when you have three guys leave early for the NFL and then, you know, you lose one to legal issues and lose one to flunking off, I mean, that in itself is a lot to overcome, not to even mention the fact of the graduation. And there's just not much experience that they had, and it's catching up with them, especially as banged up as they are now.
Mike, we started off the conversation by talking a little bit about basketball, and Hokies got a big win today against Ball State. They're down in Charleston for a tournament down there. Obviously, it was a crazy off season for the basketball team, and you know, we saw some stuff recently that might affect it moving forward. What are your overall thoughts about Tech hoops heading into this season? Because I know the expectations, as we touched on earlier, were pretty high.
Yeah, they are very high, and I think they got a chance to be really good. I mean, I think this could be easily an NCAA tournament team. The absence of Chris Clark certainly is going to hurt. But, you know, if you can keep guys out of foul trouble like KJ, I mean, that's the big one, Kerry Blackshear Jr., if you can keep him on the court and out of foul trouble, then I think he got a chance, because Wabisa Beattie has come on and played very, very well. He actually got his first start today and did extremely well. They're just not real big. They went small today and just kind of used their athletic ability and the ability to get up and down the court and quickness to take care of Ball State. But obviously moving forward, it's going to be more and more difficult. But this is a team that can shoot the ball, and their Achilles heel is their rebounding and turnovers. And today they only turned it over 9 times, and 7 of those were in the second half. So I think they got a chance to be pretty good.
When you look at where this team is right now, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, what's the ceiling for him?
Oh, man, I think it's unlimited. He was outstanding today at 21 points and I think 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, he made play after play after play, especially when Justin Robinson went out of the game for a little while for, you know, he's a little bit banged up and he needed some rest, got a little foul trouble. So Nikhil kind of took the game over. He's so long and athletic and got long arms. I mean, he finger rolled several balls up. I mean, I think he's an outstanding player, and he's only going to get better. I mean, he started every game since he was a freshman last year, and he's just got a tremendous upside.
Mike, thank you. I know it's a crazy time of year for you, but we appreciate you making time for us. Always fun catching up, and enjoy the travels this weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you guys before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving with you and your families and all the listeners out there as well. So it's a nice, cool time of year, and hopefully everybody will enjoy the holiday and take care of their loved ones.
Well, we certainly hope you do the same. Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you, man.
Okay, y'all take care.
All right, Mike Burnup joining us here on the Sports Line. It's crazy. It's hard to believe that it's Thanksgiving already.
I'd rather it be the last Thursday of every November rather than the fourth. Just it feels like it should be the last, because now you have this big gap and you're gonna have over a month between Thanksgiving and Christmas and plenty of time to hear about all the not only Black Friday specials and certainly ones that may be coming from Insane Eddie, but you'll also have a chance to hear way more about commercials and just see more on TV for it. I like the lead up to Thanksgiving, so I wish it was a week later.
It just feels early.
It does.
You know, I mean, it really does. It feels early. It feels like we should have another week.
Yes, it does.
Make it happen, Ed. You can do it.
I know. Jump on board. Let's get the petition going immediately.
5:28 on the sports line. Quick break when we come back. More football talk, including some NFL. Stay tuned.